The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
It is the APC Podcast here at acmepackingcompany.com, part of SB Nation and Vox Media, talking Packers all of the time. The only Green Bay Packers podcast on the internet. Don't Google that. I know that joke's not funny, but I'm going to beat it to death. I am Zach Rapport, at Zach Rapport on Twitter, holding it down in Albuquerque, New Mexico, with an elderly cat sleeping behind me, perhaps snoring audibly. We'll find out in post-production. No Alex Patakis today on the show. He is stuck at work. He mentioned something about a pesky salesperson, so insert your Dunder Mifflin joke here. But courtesy of our fabulous engineer, Amber Watson, over at the Craig Newmark School of Journalism in New York City, we are joined by Ben Foldy. Ben, how are you, man?
I'm doing all right. I'm still a little sick, but not. My voice is slightly improved from last time.
You sound good to me. Ready to talk some draft. It is draft season, after all, and this is one of two episodes we're going to do. We're going to focus on the offense here today. The Packers have 10 total picks in the draft. That's two firsts, one second, a third, two fourths, a fifth, two sixths, and a seventh. That is a lot of swings at the plate. And rather than trying to sort of cram the entire textbook into your head the night before the big test, we kind of thought it would be fun and a bit easier to digest to sort of make things a little bit more bite-sized. So we're sort of calling this names to know on offense heading into the draft, and we'll talk defense next week with Justice Mosqueda. But today, we have the privilege of being joined by our good friend Jake Ogden at Seeds of Jake on Twitter. Jake, how are you, man?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on again.
It's our pleasure. You're a scholar and a gentleman.
I appreciate it.
Longtime listeners will know Jake from his draft insights last year, but Jake, for the newbies, maybe give us the Cliff's Notes on kind of who you are and what kind of content maybe people can expect from you if they're following you.
I worked at Columbia University for a year or so, working with sort of like just scouting.
Video scouting and stuff?
Yeah, preparing each week and then working with their scout team. And then my friend now works over at Army.
Cool. All right. Well, let's jump in. So the Packers have a 12th? Picking 12th and 30th, I think, as it stands. I think rather than try to predict who will go at any given point is a fool's errand. But if we kind of take the Bob McGinn approach and say, oh, these are names that'll go in the top 100, what are some names that you think would interest the Packers on the early on, day one kind of names?
Well, I mean, we've kind of seen a little bit now with Gutekunst that it's being a little bit more open with how he uses the top 30 visits. So we've seen, what is it, like, I think by my count, it's been five offensive linemen that are probably going to go in the top 50 that they've taken a look at, which is Andre Dillard, Jonah Williams, Caleb McGarry. So I think if a guy for like the 12th overall pick, I would assume if they're going to look for a guy like my favorite offensive lineman in this class is Andre Dillard. I just think he's,
yeah.
And I know people are kind of like a bit nervous that it could be the next Jason Spree because he tested off the charts, and the problem is he's pretty much a left tackle. He's only played left tackle, so that's the big concern. Can he switch over to right tackle if they took him? And then there's Jonah Williams, but a lot of these guys did not meet the Packers threshold, so it's a bit kind of all over the place. like Jawan Taylor didn't test.
Yeah.
So we don't really know. And he's a strictly right tackle. So I would say if they do like, and they don't, they typically go after guys that are left tackles and then convert them. So
yeah, exactly.
If I had to put my money on it, like if they really wanted to take a tackle at 12, it probably would be Andre Dillard.
It seems the only name that kind of makes sense, both in terms of the Packers' thresholds and the kind of demonstrated left tackle tendency. Is Cole Madison a left tackle in college?
No, he was strictly a right tackle, and they moved.
Yeah, so it is possible that they moved away from that a little.
That's what I was kind of thinking, and that's when they brought in Jonah Williams. I was like, maybe they will put in. Like they could. I mean, I would love Jonah Williams. You could instantly put him at right tackle. Well, you could put him at right guard. Or obviously when at some point when I'm blanking on his name.
Brian Bulaga.
Yeah, Bulaga. I don't know why I just did blank, but Bulaga, yeah, he's at some point he's going to be injured.
Yeah.
During the season. So you could plug in someone like Jonah Williams.
Well, there's a certain set of Packer fans that already want to forget Brian Bulaga's name, apparently. So
yeah, that's a weird the cut Bulaga truthers is a weird thing I don't totally get.
Yeah, no, he's a great player. He just has injury concerns. His knees are made of dust at this point, but he's still a great player.
Yeah, I mean, and why would you not take the cheap games you can get out of him? I just don't understand the logic of trying to move on for a line. You know, I think if any team can handle some turnover historically on the line, you know, I don't know where the next Lane Taylor is, but the Packers probably do.
Yeah.
Although I guess last year was kind of an indictment of trusting that the Packers know what's going on with their offensive line at some point.
Right.
But so, okay, so Andre Dillard, I think, would make sense on the OL at 12. What are some other names that you've been looking at?
Well, obviously, the two big common names have been the Iowa tight end, which is TJ Hockenson and Noah Fant. I personally think that Noah Fant would be a better fit. I totally understand why people want TJ Hockenson. And he's a great blocker. He's probably an overall better player right now if you put him in the offense. But I think the ceiling for Noah Fant is so high.
Just from the athletic profile?
Just from the athletic profile. And I get it. Like, he's more of like a, he's more like a typical, like a.
He's like an out wide, he's like a McCarthy, you know, I mean, if you're going to sign Jimmy Graham, you might as well sign, you know, draft Noah Fant, I think.
Exactly. Like, he's basically a flex tight end right now, but he can block, and he doesn't get enough credit that he is actually a decent blocker.
Yeah.
He can be the type of guy, like, he is the Jared Cook, but a better blocker.
Yeah, it's a little hard to tell about, you know, on top of the Ted Thompson turnover, you have now the, why am I blanking on the new coach's name? Like a total idiot.
Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, LaFleur. I kept wanting to say Lefebvre, and I'm like, no, that's too Quebec.
Hey, welcome to blanking on that.
Yeah, so Matt, if it's hard to know what LaFleur's tendencies are too, because he wasn't necessarily in a position to call the shots on personnel in Tennessee.
Right. Yeah, he didn't have any say of what they were like. He just had to fall into what they had.
So it's really it's pretty difficult to know. You know, you should kind of try to look for some consistencies across those teams, right? It's like, you know, for all I know, he wants an Austin Hooper tight end. You know, he was on that. He helped put that team together. But, you know, but he does, you know, I guess when you look at it, the Shanahan offenses, like the teams that he's been a part of have all managed to run through the tight end pretty effectively. Jordan Reed, you know, George Kittle kind of busted out for the Niners under Shanahan last season. Jonnu Smith, I think, is the best tight end prospect of 2 years ago. He's who I wanted the Packers to take in the third round.
Yeah, he was a part of that great class.
Yeah.
Everyone keeps talking about that this is this class, and it's like, it's not really. I think outside of the Iowa tight end, maybe Jace Sternberger, it falls off pretty drastically.
Yeah, it's so front-loaded, I think. But the front-loading is really, like, quality. Like, I don't really see either of those guys missing.
Yeah.
I guess I'm partial to Hockenson. I think, but mostly because I don't know exactly what LaFleur wants to do with tight ends in the new offense. And because I think that, you know, just the older Rodgers gets, the more you can have a player on the field you can trust as a blocker and throw more wrinkles into the playbook like that, I think that's okay.
No, it makes a ton of sense to have someone like Hockenson. One, it helps out, like you said, to help pass protection, but it also helps in how, like, Hockenson is ridiculous at blocking, and he creates such great cutback lanes. And guess who is Mr. Cutback? Is Aaron Jones.
Yeah,
speed off the cutback. So I could see them just saying that, like, hey, like, we're going to take Hockenson at 12 because it adds to our offense in so many other ways that, and he can, we can take time to develop him in the passing game. We can put him on the field because we know he's a dependable blocker. So I think that that is maybe the reason that they go for someone like him over Noah Fant. Like, that they have to have a whole separate game plan for him.
Yeah. I think one of the things that's interesting too is that this is not really a, this doesn't seem like a great draft for the normal kind of high premium positions, right?
It's more so it's heavy on the defense side. I mean, the wide receiver class, I mean, we'll get to it eventually, but the wide receiver class, I think, is scary good.
What I like about the wide receiver class is that I think you can get some of the best names on the board, not in the first round.
Oh, absolutely. I think the 30 to the 44 range is like, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, we'll get to that. So I guess so let's agree, I think we're agreed that Packers don't go. I'm not certain the Packers go on the offensive side of the ball at all at 12, but if they do, they're not going at wide receiver or running back. I think that's pretty safe to say, right?
Yeah, definitely not running back, definitely not quarterback. If they do go offensive line, I guess by the thresholds that we've seen and how Gutekunst likes his athletes, the only guy that I can see that makes sense is Andre Dillard. But I tend to think that they don't do that. And I think, and that's why I'm kind of like, is it worth it to take a tight end just overall, the grand scheme of things? I don't know either.
And I mean, I think at 30, that makes sense. If Hawk or Fant falls to 30, I can easily see the Packers making that move.
Yeah, or trading up from 30 makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of DK, and if it just, you have to have a certain game plan for DK if you do take him at 12.
Yeah, I don't see him adding as much to the Packers as I do other players in the draft at positions of need. But I'm probably higher on a few. I'm both higher on the Packers' existing options, and I'm higher on people later in the draft than I maybe should be. I think 30 is as good a place as any to start talking about the second round too. Like, I think that if Ted Thompson were in charge of this team, I would have a difficult time believing that he did not take JJ Arcega Whitehead at in the second round. He's like exactly the Packers kind of old Ted Thompson second round profile kind of guy to me.
Yeah, I mean, well, he will take a while to develop.
You think?
I think so. He's more of a jump ball kind of receiver. Mm-hmm. He'll take time. I mean, I think his hands are really nice, and that's probably his best attribute. But I mean, at Stanford, it's usually throw those jump balls, mm-hmm. and that's the one thing I worry about. Now, he tested pretty well at his pro day. I guess he was going through something. He didn't test at the combine. But like, and that's like in your mind, your range at 44 would be someone like him.
Well, to me, it's like the classic Ted Thompson second round guy, where it's like he's kind of shied off the bigger names. Like, to me, the comp is kind of Jordy Nelson with him. Probably takes a couple of years, but the physical tools are there.
Yeah, I could kind of see it. One guy I could see it, but if he tested well, which I'm so bummed that he didn't, which is Kelvin Harmon. I thought he reminded me a ton of Jordy.
Was who?
Kelvin Harmon. I thought his ball, his like sideline awareness, his ball skills, this are so Jordy-esque.
Yeah.
But he just didn't test well at all. So I don't think he's remotely on the Packers radar.
So what about, do you think is second round is not too early for, I mean, do you think N'Keal Henry drops that far?
I don't. I think if you, like, N'Keal Henry is one of my favorite prospects in this class. And I think that he's one of those guys that I don't know how much he's going to contribute early, just because of his limited route running, mm-hmm. And he's more of a jump ball guy. I mean, he struggles to separate sometimes, but his ball skills, like his like big playability, is unmatched compared to other players in this class. And I think he reminds me a ton of Devontae Adams coming out of Fresno, especially how they use him, which was go balls, hitches, maybe a drag. Like, that's all he was used. And I think that, like, I mean, and smoke screens too. So I think that if you have a specific route diet for a guy like N'Keal Harry, I think he could be, like, especially if you already have an established receiver like Devontae, mm-hmm. he doesn't have to be forced into being, like, this guy that he's probably not. Yeah. And hopefully you've got, he needs to go to a like hopefully a good sort of team that can coach him. Unlike Dallas, which they didn't teach Dez, they taught him like, I guess, a rudimentary route tree. So hopefully he needs to go to a place that can sort of, you know, perfect his skills. And I think that, that he would be a really great fit. But I think they would have to, they would have to move up to go get him in the first round. I think
move up from 30.
Yeah, I think he goes earlier than people think.
Yeah, I mean, I think, to me, I think he's probably the best wide receiver prospect in this, in this draft. I mean, I guess it sounds like maybe you think DK Metcalf is better.
I mean, they're both somewhat similar in a way. Like DK is the same sort of situation, but instead he's only lined up on the left side at Ole Miss. He's ran like what, three routes, but he's an elite deep threat.
And he's like physically just a machine. Like he's on.
He is a machine. And he's another one of those things that I think he needs to take time to develop and be in the right system, right fit, whatever you want. But I think that N'Keal Harry, I think give him 2 years in a system with an already established wide receiver one. I mean, he's going to be special.
Yeah,
because you can give him time, and I think in a year or two he's going to be in that like Devontae Allen Robinson sort of like tier. I mean, he's a good player.
And then what are some other names you're thinking in the second, third round maybe?
I would say second round. I think a guy like that, the guy you could start right away, and the only problems with him are injuries and age, which is Deebo Samuel. I think he's going to be a star right away. He's a guy you can plug and play right away. Like he is just such, he's probably, in my opinion, he's the best route runner in the class.
Strong too.
Oh my God. I mean, he's built like, I guess some people have compared him to Randall Cobb. I can kind of see it, but I mean, he's 20 pounds bigger than Randall Cobb, and he's about two and a half inches taller than Randall. So, I mean, he is rocked up, and he can run. His feet, his footwork is absurd. So I really like him at 44. I tend to think that A.J. Brown slips a little bit. And maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not as high on A.J. Brown as others. I mean, I really do like A.J. Brown, and I think it fits the mold of what the Packers were looking for as a big slot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he could be there around 44.
And is it too early to take Andy Isabella?
At 44?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Way too
early. Okay.
But I mean, I'm guessing you're a fan of
I think Andy Isabella makes sense, but I think 44 is too early for him.
He's a day two by the season, for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody does take him that early, but I don't think anybody necessarily should, if that makes sense. Like, I could see a team being really high on him and being like, yeah, we'll take it.
I mean, he can probably go late two, early three. I mean, that's probably his range. I mean, I like him at 75. I think he's another guy that, like, he can go inside, outside, but he's just a small, and he's like, what, 5'8"?
He's 5'9"-ish or something. He's small.
Yeah, I mean, if I was going to get Andy Isabella at 35, I'd rather go try to get Marquise Brown.
Marquise Brown, you said?
Yeah, I'd rather go try to get him and like trade up. Because I think he's going to go anywhere between 21 and 30, I'm guessing. Which I'm kind of surprised because he's what, 5'9", 166 pounds, and coming off a broken foot. So this is going to be like unprecedented that we get this small of a receiver to go in this position.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever happened.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I don't know that to me, that seems like the kind of thing that the NFL, not like the group think might kind of conspire against him going in the first, just because it, you know, the size thing, it's a big ask. I think, you know, like, it's like somebody coming off an injury, right? Like it's like you got the guaranteed money in the first round. You've always got that. It always seems like NFL teams are more risk averse, just like the first round stigma almost of certain players. Like they'd, you know, somebody not the stigma of having a first rounder not pan out is enough to kind of make some people wait till the second round for players who are first round talents, you know, because of something like size or injury or something like that.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
So I guess what, we're up through 75. What are some other names you're interested in?
Guy at 75, I would assume this is probably a little early for some, but I would take Stanley Morgan Jr. out of Nebraska. I like him. I think he is one of the – he has not gotten enough recognition. I think he's gotten more so on, like, Twitter. Mm-hmm. But, like, mainstream, he has not gotten any love. And I think he's one of the best-kept secrets in this draft for receivers.
What do you like about him?
I mean, he posted, like, in terms of just, like, overall athletic ability, like, he posted, like, I think the best, like, three-cone, the best short shuttle. He just, like, overall put together a really, really good sort of, like, just profile. And I think that he is, just the way he, like, I think his routes are really good. I think he's an exceptional blocker. And there's a couple of games I saw, like, 2 years ago when he was playing Iowa. Like, he went up against Josh Jackson, and he smoked him for a one-handed touchdown. Mm. Like, he's just, he just improves each and every year with his route. And I think he is one of the better route runners in this class, too. And he just doesn't get talked about. And he probably will go, I'm guessing he'll go early day three, just because he's just not gotten enough love. And I think that he is going to surprise a lot of people. Like, he's a hard worker. He's just going to be one of those guys that is just going to, like, just stick around in the NFL for a long time.
I'm rooting for him because whenever I see his name, I just accidentally read it backwards as Morgan Stanley, which is an investment bank. So I feel like there's a lot of nickname potential there.
That's exactly what I was thinking before. All right, don't call him Morgan Stanley. Don't call him Morgan Stanley.
I mean, it's interesting, too, that if last year was a trend, right, in terms of if we're taking the Gutekunst draft as a limited sample size, like, day three wide receivers might be, you know, an efficiency that he aims at. And that sounds like a name that could come up.
Oh, I mean, if this was Ted Thompson running this team, Stanley Morgan Jr. would be a Packer without a doubt in my mind. He is the perfect profile, like, height, weight, speed, everything. Like, he fits the perfect profile of what Ted Thompson wanted in a player.
Yeah.
Now, can I ask a question? You know, some people look at the Packers and they see a crowded wide receiver room at this point, while others see a need for more talent. So, I mean, it sounds like you're in the more talent camp, or just, like, why not always bring in as much fresh blood as you can?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, it's been, like, there's been a lot of, I mean, we just had reporting from what Rob Domofsky and Tom Silverstein that wide receiver is not going to be a high priority. And no offense to them, I don't think that they really know, and I don't think that we know what the Packers are going to do, what their sort of needs are.
I think that we as news consumers need to be very wary of anything that comes out as a fact about the way a team is or is not going to approach the draft here within the 2 week lead up, because this is like smokescreen period for sure.
Oh, absolutely! Like, we're 7 days away, and there was, like, a reporting that we went to go, or we brought in Andrew or Drew Locke. Like, what do you think that was? It was a smokescreen. Like, and they, oh, the Packers, you know what? They're telling Rob Domofsky all about, like, how they don't want to target a wide receiver. They're really going to tell him that? Yeah. We don't know anything, and they don't know anything. And it's not disrespect to them, but it's just...
It's the game. It's the game. Yeah, it's not that anybody's, like, wrong. It's just the way the game is.
Yeah. And to answer your question about our depth, I think we're one injury away, one Devontae Adams injury away from a complete nightmare.
I mean, we've seen it in years past.
That is totally true.
Yeah, and it's not that I don't like MVS and I don't like EQ, and Ben knows, like, how much that I like EQ, and I like both of them. I even like Jamon.
I mean, I'm really big on EQ.
I know, and I think either EQ or MVS is going to have a huge jump. One of those guys is going to do it, but that's still not enough.
Yeah, I mean, well, what about Geronimo, though?
I like Geronimo, but he is also on a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Same as Jake Kumerow, who's on a one-year deal. He's also 27. He's been in the NFL for 3 years. He has not yet proved anything yet.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like that guy that's just like, well, he's an undrafted free agent. He's not going to make it. But it's probably likely that they don't make it.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that they can't do it, but it's just that the likelihood of it is so slim.
The one place where that gets weird is I still believe that EQ is at least a day two talent that just for whatever reason slipped to where he did.
Yeah. Oh, because his quarterback sucked. And it, and if Deshaun Kaiser stays,
and they hated his parents. I don't know. Like, I have no explanation for why EQ lasted until the seventh round, or sixth round, or whatever he lasted to. But I do think that his dad had something to do with it.
Oh yeah, I mean, they thought that he was like the next LeVar Ball. I mean, I can totally understand NFL teams staying far away from that.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're wrong about that, but I do like. Yeah. Like, to me, like, just statistic profile, physical profile, production, EQ is a legit talent and young. I mean, EQ is what, 22 this season, I think?
He's 22. Marquise is, I think he's like 24 already. He's
yeah. So to me, EQ is the horse. If I'm betting on one of those guys for long-term future, EQ's the guy. But we'll see.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think NBA, well, both guys surprised. I mean, they both slashed last year. And I think that they're both capable of being a solid, solid wide receiver.
Yeah.
Like opposite of Devontae.
Yeah.
But I mean, to bet on that both of them work out or even all three of them work out is stupid.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same thing to say, like, you know, we have Geronimo Allison on a 1 year deal and same with Kumara. Those guys don't factor into like past 2019.
Yeah.
And I think that we have to start looking at young talent. Like, so if we went after, like, I'm just saying, I gave a trade scenario a couple weeks ago about how the Seattle Seahawks has four draft picks, and they're probably going to trade back. That's a prime target. We've already traded with Dan Snyder before.
Mm-hmm.
And moving, and let's say we do want to go get N'Keal Harry, and we go move up to jump the Ravens. I think bringing in a guy like N'Keal Harry, you can put him on special teams. You can kind of give him a specific route diet and kind of a game plan for him. You can kind of help him along as he progresses. He's gonna have to do the same thing that Devontae did with learn route. It just has to. I mean, he has the natural ability to do it. You see it and do it like with what he has with smoke screens and all that stuff. But he has to develop more of a route tree. But I think that he would be. I think it'd be great to have someone like him.
One thing that I think we're in relative agreement on is that the Packers are not going to go chasing after running back too early in the draft. But there are some names. I think you and I have the same names that we're interested in as far as the running backs go. I know that the name that we both agree on is Darwin Thompson.
Oh, absolutely. Darwin is like a life-size version of Terry Cohen.
Yeah.
And he's someone you target as a day three guy?
Yeah, he's going to be like a day three because he's like, I think he's only 5'8", 200 pounds.
But 200 pounds is pretty. It's like he's a chunky boy. Like
Did you see the Twitter picture that floated around after his pro day?
Yeah,
he looks all like
he's rocked
up.
Yeah, but he's also. I mean, he's what? He's got 20 pounds on Tariq Cohen, I think.
Oh, easily. I don't think Tariq Cohen's even 190.
He's like getting more, and he's more Duggar Knot than
yeah, he is.
Muscle Hamster than.
Yeah, I mean he's rocked out. He would be paired. Like I don't think the Packers are going to be touching a running back in the first round in day two. I think that they will. They have to get one at some point.
Yeah, I mean you have 10 picks. If you don't come away with a running back, you don't understand the NFL. Kind of. Darwin Thompson. I guess one of the things that I read an interview with him or something. He was comparing himself to Jerick McKinnon, which I thought was an interesting comp.
That's a pretty good one, actually.
Yeah, I think he's
more of a natural runner than McKinnon because McKinnon was in like some sort of triple option weird Georgia State shit.
Yeah. Good. Well, and Cone's a little more like that too, the kind of gadgetry.
Yeah.
But it's like I think that, and this is another thing where it's hard to tell with LaFleur, right? Like. Does he want a Deion Lewis? Does he want, you know, like, is that his call? Did he want to build that offense? But Thompson seems to me to be kind of, and Alex, if he were here, I know would be on this trip too, that the contemporary NFL timeshare, pass catching, value back, like Darwin Thompson is about as good as you can get. And especially in a weak running back year like this year.
Mm-hmm.
Thompson is kind of the guy that I would be excited coming away with on day three. I know that you've been a Myles Gaskin truther for a long time.
That's literally your Twitter bio.
Yeah. I mean, I love Myles Gaskin. I'm a bit disappointed that he didn't test as well as I thought he would. But I think that it's been proven that the you don't necessarily need these freak athletes to be good running backs.
Yeah.
And I think Myles Gaskin, like most of these running backs and most players, just need to land in the right sort of right scheme, right coaching, et cetera. And I think Myles Gaskin could be, I mean, I would love him if we could get him. I think he'd be a perfect fit for the zone scheme. Yeah, I mean, I think he just didn't test as well as I thought he would.
Yeah.
But I think he was dealing with like a bunch of injuries last year.
I think he would have been a lot better suited coming out last year than this year.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he did that. I mean, a lot of these guys, like Bryce Love got dinged up too, and Rodney Anderson got booked. He couldn't enter the draft last year, but still, there's the talented players right now are like actually like dinged up. Like mm-hmm. I think Bryce Love is probably the best running back in this class if he didn't tear his ACL, and then he's got all these ankle injuries. So I'm a bit like when you get guys that are like 5'8" and they're like barely 200 pounds and they start already having ankle and knee injuries, that's when you start to get concerned. But I think he could be. I mean, to me, he is a Deion Lewis type of player. Mm-hmm. So if LaFleur does want to mimic what he did in Tennessee, I mean, they could take a late, like I'm talking like probably a 6th-round pick, you could probably get Bryce Love and just have him in there. And I don't think he'll be ready until the end of training camp, if they're lucky. So, but he would be a player that'd be kind of fun. They could match that. I think I also really like that it's been kind of a little bit late in the process, but I really love Miles Sanders from Penn State.
Miles Sanders, you said?
Yeah, I really like him. I think his profile, his athletic profile, he tested the best out of any running backs, I think, overall. Mm-hmm. Like, his athletic profile is insane. I think if LaFleur wanted, like, a bigger, more in-between the tackles, but also shifty, and you can use him in the passing game, because I think LaFleur definitely made a point to say that, like, he wanted no matter what his running backs did, it's a nice added dimension to be in the passing game. And I think he needs backs that can catch.
Yeah.
So I think that it would be nice to have a guy that you can, a 220-pound guy you could pair with Aaron Jones.
Well, it sounds like Derrick Henry, kind of, right? Like, I mean, and again, I'm wary of falling too much into this. Like, well, you know, the 2019 Packers are going to look like the 2018 Titans. But I do think that I look at Jamal Williams and I look at Aaron Jones and I'm like, okay, I can see like the vague resemblance from Derrick Henry. And I mean, I think Derrick Henry is more of a physical freak.
Yeah. I mean, he's like he's 6'3", 250 pound freak. Like, he is a train running at you. I don't think Miles Sanders has some sort of like he's got nice footwork. His running style is super smooth.
Mm-hmm.
He does not look like a 200 pound back, but he runs like he can hit you, but he's got really nice feet. So I think that he would be an interesting fit.
I do have to say that I think both of us last year were reasonably high on Chase Edmonds, and we were probably right about that.
Yeah, he looked good
around this time of year. What are some other names you're interested in later in the draft?
So like a guy that I like super late that has gotten a little buzz on Twitter, but not mainstream, is the tight end out of San Jose State, which is Josh Oliver.
Mm-hmm. What do you like about him?
I just think he's a guy you can kind of develop over time. Like he's what, 6'5", 250 pounds. His athletic profile is much better than any like Irv Smith, Jace Sternberger. He just tested so well, and I think he did well at the Senior Bowl. I think just overall, like, he's a tight end that you can develop. He's the type of guy that you can kind of put in your system late and just see, like, if you can develop him over time. He's mm-hmm. the guy that I would want over. Like, I know a lot of people kind of want Foster Moreau to be, like, the next George Kittle. I don't really see it. I think he's a good blocking tight end, but I'm not sure if he can be the next George Kittle. But someone like Josh Oliver, I think he's the guy you can really develop to become, like, a pass-catching tight end.
I was going to say, in tight end, I mean, traditionally it's been a position where it's pretty tough to have a rookie impact. And I think it's one of those things where fans have gotten a little confused by recency bias, where, you know, we had some kind of historically strong rookie tight end classes. And then even some of those guys are limited contributors early on. You know, O.J. Howard's fantastic, and he's still, like, you know, splits time with Cameron Brate. So.
Yeah, exactly. And then who else? David Njoku. Like he, I mean, it. He kind of
Njoku's a beast.
Yeah, he's a beast.
But he like, he still has a long time to come on. I mean, and then you go back. If you go back further, you're talking about guys like Max Williams. You're talking about, you know, Eric Ebron. How many people had written him off?
Yeah, I mean that's the other thing. Like he needed to it's all about what happens, like where these players end up in what system, how did they develop them. Like it could be a whole mess of things, and usually tight ends take off on their second team or second contract.
Yeah, third or fourth year.
Or they just need to be in a better system that's better suited to them. And I think I think we see that. And I think a lot of people forget that. It's like it's not so much the players' fault that they land in these like shitty situations with the coaches who don't bend their offense to them, and they force these players into these, you know, but they're not unconventional ways that they've never played before.
Yeah, the Detroit Lions made Amir Abdullah bad.
Yeah, which is insane. I mean, I know he dealt with injuries, but like,
I don't actually think Amir Abdullah is a bad football player, but the Lions definitely made it seem that way. Are there any names that you think are really overrated or that are big red flags that the Packers should avoid that you groan if they're taken?
Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to groan if they take Paris Campbell.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Is it a size thing? What's your beef?
My beef is that he's a guy that's like, and he's an absolute freak. Like his athletic profile is absurd. And I get it. You could do a lot, but I think that his hands are terrible.
Uh-huh.
He's basically like a track star that basically they put him at wide receiver and just said, go.
Yeah.
And he just has no clue about route running. And people think that he's a deep threat. He's not. You have to put him in this slot. Like that's all they use him as like, he's like a huge gadget. Like he's a 6 foot gadget. And I just don't, he's a guy you have to like, kind of take along, and he's also older. He's a senior. I think he's like already 23.
Yeah.
So like the fact that he has like is no, I don't know where his route running ability is right now at this age, and all he's known is this certain Urban Meyer system, and I think that's a huge red flag for me.
All right, guys, a lot to chew on there, and some fun options on offense, and hopefully you guys at home come away feeling like you know something about some of these players and you can follow along with the draft and have some fun with it. Cause I think, you know, a little knowledge certainly makes it more fun. And so to that end, Jake, thank you so much for dropping some serious knowledge on us, man. We really appreciate it. Next week, we are going to focus on the defense with Justice Mosqueda. Until then, you can follow our guest Jake on Twitter at Seeds of Jake. Is that right?
That is correct.
Follow him on Twitter and follow us as well. At the APC pod, individually at all of our names. So we'll see you guys next week to talk defense as we get ready to head into Brian Gutekunst's second NFL draft as the GM of the Green Bay Packers. So until then, keep it locked into acmepackingcompany.com. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Go Pack, go. You chuckle up until they're dry.